Welcome to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here today on this fine Monday afternoon, as we are here every day, Monday through Friday at this hour, to talk about life, the universe, and everything from a Catholic perspective. And we're here today. I have, of course, my Monday co-host. Is it Ms., Mrs., or Miss? Sherry Antonetti. I want to get
it's
my
Mrs.
feminine. It's Mrs. Sherry Antonetti.
I'm married, yes.
Trying to get my feminism right here. So, you know, just got to be cautious about that. And so Sherry is my Monday co-host. And in addition to Sherry, continuing a grand tradition we began last week, also have a guest on the show. There's some kind of funny, scratchy noise happening. I'm not sure what's causing that. Anyway, I have a guest on the show today, none other than Mr. Mike Maturin, who is the candidate for president for the American Solidarity Party. I'm a fan of the American Solidarity Party for reasons that we will get into as the show goes on. I have talked in the past about my own political views, but I thought it would be interesting to have Mr. Maturin on the show today. Hello there. Are you there?
I sure am, Mark. I'm honored to be on the broadcast with you and Sherry, and appreciate your time today.
Yeah, welcome. Happy to have you. Happy to have you. For those who are interested, there's a couple of things I want to throw out. First, I want to throw out our phone number. If you want to join the conversation, please do give us a call. We're at 1-573-4-BREAD-4, 1-573-4-BREAD-4, because you see, we're on Breadbox Media, so get it.
There you go. And you can talk to a presidential candidate.
So you can talk to an actual
opportunity.
You don't get a chance to do this every day. So, talk to a presidential candidate. You can also tweet us. By the way, you can text us at 1-573-4-BREAD-4. And you can also text us or tweet us at Breadbox Media. So, you're running for president. That doesn't, you know, not everybody can say that.
It's on a bucket list of a lot of people.
No.
Yeah,
I had a weak moment.
So he was at this. You know what happened was he was at this meeting and they said we need somebody to run for president, and this little kid in the background shouted something that sounded like Ambrose Bishop, but it came out Maturin for president, and that's
yeah,
that's how it happened. So,
actually, I think it was my. One of my children sitting behind me raising their hand. I'm not real sure, but
okay.
No, it actually, over the past couple of years, I've been getting more and more disgusted with the state of American politics.
Why? Everything is great.
Specifically, yeah, I mean, the vitriol, the venom, and this year's particular contest, if you'll call it that, is just one of the ugliest, at least in my memory. And I finally had given up on, you know, I said, I'm done with the major parties, and I began searching for something that fit my religious beliefs, my political beliefs. And I stumbled upon the American Solidarity Party and realized that my political beliefs really didn't line up with my religious beliefs. And so I began to change my own heart. And that put me in line solidly with the AFP, and so I got involved, and one thing led to another, and here I am as their presidential nominee.
Well, how about that? That's okay.
Incredible.
That's interesting. So when did you bump into the American Solidarity Party?
Boy, I think it was back in April, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
I'm a relatively new convert.
Romance. I say it's a
speed
whirlwind
dating.
Romance. Then.
Yeah, speed dating.
Yeah,
speed dating.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't even get a drink out of the deal.
Well, part of what interested me in it was, on the one hand, you guys support constitutional legal measures that establish the right to life from conception to natural death.
Yay.
So, you know, yay for that. But in addition, and this is something that I've been banging away at for some time now. What frustrates me about the I don't think that this is so much the case with the rank and file of the pro-life movement. What frustrates me about the leadership of the pro-life movement is that it's effectively the anti-abortion but not pro-life movement. It would be one thing if you just focused on abortion and said that's our thing. I get that. You know, there are people who their thing is bringing abortion to an end, and bully for them. I'm with them 100%. But what drives me nuts are people who say I'm pro-life, but then instead of the energy actually going toward defending the unborn, it goes toward fighting the church on capital punishment, on just war. On, you know, I see people who are pro-life who are out there, you know, battling every year, you know, to justify the nuclear bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Or, you know, they're out there talking about how we need the death penalty. We need to be on the same list as North Korea, Communist China, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq. And
not a good list. Not
horrible good despotisms, list. Right? And it's like, why are you spending your time and energy battling the church in order to do that? So I love that you oppose the capital punishment. You're opposed to euthanasia, to assisted suicide. You've got you advocate a foreign policy that wants to reduce ethnic and economic tensions. You want to fight wars in accordance with just war principles, instead of blowing just war principles off, you know? Bravo.
Exactly.
You
know? Yeah.
I'm so happy to hear that. But no, so talk about what's your vision? What are you trying to achieve with the American Solidarity Party?
Well, I think what we're trying to do, I guess on a long-term basis, is to create an atmosphere in the United States of America where people think along the lines of Catholic social teaching. And I'm going to use Catholic here, although I am a Catholic. I'm going to use it with a little c because I want to emphasize that we are not a Roman Catholic party, per se. We do have a lot of members who are Catholic, but we also have a lot of members who are of other Protestant faiths and some of no faith at all. Mm-hmm. So I'm using Catholic in the sense of little c or universal. Universal social teaching would say that if you're going to be for life, you need to be for all of life. You can't justify killing a baby because you haven't seen it yet, but not kill. You know, it's ridiculous the kind of twisting and pretzel-like combinations we put our bodies into to support anti-abortion, but we're not willing, as you said, to do the same thing for being against the death penalty, being against euthanasia, all of these other types of things that are not conducive to life as human beings would see it. I don't think there's too many humans, like you mentioned in the rank and file, that wouldn't say, hey, if we're going to tell these women that they shouldn't be having abortions, shouldn't we be providing some sort of help so that there's less of a need for abortion, like a solid social safety net?
Exactly.
I spent this afternoon kind of looking over your website, and you have a consistent moral thinking that permeates your platform. I was very impressed with it. So
thank you.
Kudos.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was written before I came on board, but there is nothing in that platform that I disagree with.
Yeah, I was not uncomfortable reading any of the platforms. That was really unusual. That was kind of shocking. So I was very impressed.
Yeah, usually you have to hold your nose on something.
Right. And it's what I have appreciated. One of the things that I've been I keep banging away at, you know, in my own ruminations about this has been the need to think about abortion not simply from a supply perspective, but from a demand perspective. So much of the pro-life movement is devoted to reducing or eliminating supply.
That's not wrong, but it's more to it, but as long as
you have demand, there's going to be supply. You know, it's it's legal in this country,
whether legal or illegal.
Right, and you know what you discover, and this is one of the things that I've sort of banged away at repeatedly, is about 20% of the American people want abortion on demand without apology. The other 20% out at the other end of the bell curve want to outlaw abortion. And 60% of the American people in the middle don't like abortion and have no intention of doing anything about it.
Yes.
So everybody on both sides can always say that 80% of the American people are with us. 80% of the American people don't like abortion, and 80% of the American people have no intention of doing anything about that.
Lies, damn lies, and statistics. There you go.
And they're both telling the truth. Well, we will be back right after this with Mike Maturin and Sherry Antonetti talking about the American Solidarity Party. We'll be back on Connecting the Dots right after this.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Hello, and welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. Sorry.
It's okay.
So Patrick Coffin is the host of Catholic Answers Live, and he's finishing out his tour of duty with Catholic Answers Live, and he's starting up a podcast. And so, like a few days ago, he started like this Kickstarter thing, and so he asked me to stick something on my blog, which I did, and I sent him a little note that said, "Did you want to do like a guest swap sometime?" So Patrick would be on this show, and I'd be on his at some point. And so, like, days have gone by. I didn't hear back from him because I'm sure he's... And I just got a note from him saying, just saw this and no, never. I mean, sure.
How's great idea.
Great idea. Yeah.
Oh, my.
So I like Patrick Coffin a lot. He cracks me up. So he's the only Catholic evangelist I know who is also a skilled magician. So there you go. If you ever get, I'm not making that up. He really is. He does these amazing magic tricks and stuff. So I spent a whole evening.
There's two now, though, Mark.
What's that?
I said there's two now too. I used to tour as a Catholic speaker, and I am a professional magician. So.
Get out! Really?
Yes, I am. Well, Patrick seals, and I need to get together.
Yes, that seals my vote too. So. you got my vote for sure. Now, when my brother was is a magician too, and when I was growing up, he's like 9 years older than me. So when I was a little kid, he would astound me with these magic tricks, and then he would say the magic words and announce that I was invisible. I would run through the house waving my hands in front of my parents and my brothers. And none of them could see me. And so I was convinced of my brother's just awe-inspiring magical powers. So I've always had a weak spot for magicians. It's just one of my favorite things. So,
there was a newspaper in Ireland that mentioned me a couple of days ago, and their final line in talking about my candidacy said that the line may be true that we should vote for magicians rather than politicians, and at least Maturin is willing to recognize and admit that he's an illusionist.
Well, see, there you go.
That's a good line.
I was going to say, speaking of lies and deceit, let's get back to politics.
Nice segue.
Irresistible. I couldn't resist it. Actually, one of the things that I like about the American Solidarity Party is I don't feel like I'm being lied to when I look at their platform. And so I have appreciated your consistent pro-life ethic and your desire for right-to-life legislation that guarantees life from conception to natural death. Also, something that I appreciated that I'd like to discuss a little bit is your platform makes the perceptive recognition on the I think dangerous and sinister shift in language that really got a full head of steam in the past administration under Obama, that attempts to reduce freedom of religion, which is what the Constitution guarantees, to freedom of worship. And I'd like you to talk about that, because they're two very different things.
Absolutely. The freedom, what's being kind of bandied about now, as you just mentioned, is freedom to worship. That does nothing more than guarantee our ability to go from our home to a church and worship and leave without being messed with by the government. However, that does not mean that the government does not have the right to come in and force, for instance, a Catholic organization to provide abortion or contraceptive care. It does not mean that the government doesn't have the right to go into a synagogue or a mosque and force Muslims or Jews to teach or provide certain things. So it's that slippery slope, just like with abortion, you know, and now we're slipping down into some of these other things. We're going to see the same thing happening with our freedom of religion. The Constitution is specific. We have the freedom of religion. What the wording is Congress shall make no law abridging our right. And that's exactly what they're doing. That's what happened with Obamacare. Forcing the little sisters to provide contraception and abortion. And thank God they fought and they stood up and they won. That's one victory. But if we don't very carefully guard that right, we will see it slip away. And that's what the American Solidarity Party is talking about in that particular portion of our platform.
Right. Yeah, religio. It's funny because you'll often hear people say, you know, well, I'm spiritual, but I don't believe in religion. And with that, very often will go the complaint that Christians are hypocrites because they don't live what they believe. But precisely what the word religion refers to is it refers to how we live out our faith. That's what religion is. So James will tell us, for example, that religion is to care for orphans and widows. That's not something you do during worship. That's something you do when you leave the sanctuary, when you're out in the public square. The other day, I was talking with my Thursday co-host, Doug O'Brien, about this. There's a woman, I forget where it was.
San Antonio.
I want to say San Antonio. That's it. A woman named Joan Cheever, and she was out feeding homeless people. She went out there and she was making sandwiches and feeding homeless people. And so the state, the city stepped in and tried to stop her. And her response to the city, I thought, was magnificent. She said, this is my church and this is how I worship.
It was brilliant.
It was a magnificent reply. And and San Antonio backed down.
Praise
him.
God for that.
Because this was absolutely a freedom of religion question.
Definitely.
And when you reduce freedom of religion to freedom of worship, whatever weird cultic things you people do in your little sanctuaries, and that's where you have religious liberty. Yeah, you're giving up what the founders meant by freedom of religion, and it's a very dangerous thing to give up.
Well, it's like a reverse persecution because it used to be you couldn't have the mass, and now you can't actually live out your faith. You can have the mass, but you just can't go do anything with it.
Well, for the time being, although one of the things worth noting, of course, is that Caesar has a very flexible idea of where freedom of worship and freedom of religion leave off. Yes. So a couple of years ago, the Obama administration tried to tell a Lutheran congregation that under EEOC regulations, they were required to ordain women.
Yes.
And that went to the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court, thanks be to God, in a 9-0 decision, told the Obama administration that they were out of their freaking minds to try to tell the Lutherans who they could and could not ordain.
In so many words.
Wow.
But, you know, that holds as long as the Supreme Court feels like it.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And the moment the Supreme Court says, you know what, the state does have the right to tell religious congregations that they have to obey EEOC ordinances, is the moment that the state comes knocking at the door, not only of the Lutheran Church, but of the Catholic Church, and says, we will punish you under the law if you don't ordain women.
Yes. And it'll happen everywhere else, too. I mean, there will be no religious liberty if that happens.
Right, yeah.
Right.
And then it's, you know, it's kind of Katie bar the door after that. I think it's really important that you guys have caught that and are emphasizing the distinction between freedom of religion and freedom of worship.
Yes, and it is a huge distinction, although most people on its surface don't realize that.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to ask you, because this is something I'm not familiar with, so I'm wondering if you can talk about this. When you're talking about civil rights, you say that you support Ban the Box initiatives. I don't know what that means.
What the party believes is that part of the consistent life ethic would be providing for life from cradle to grave. Necessarily the government providing, like, monetarily for life, but providing an atmosphere and a climate where life can be achieved at its fullest. And for those who have committed a felony, on a job application, there's that little box that says, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And that is used quite often to just throw away a job application without any further investigation.
Okay.
And so what we believe is that not that, you know, murderers should be given, you know, jobs babysitting children. There have to be some sort of guideline. But that the fact that you may have made a stupid decision, perhaps early in life, you know, maybe as a juvenile, or just, you know, circumstances happened, that should not necessarily ban you from ever gaining painful employment.
I get it. All right. Well, we're up against a break right now, but we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here today with Sherry Antonetti and Mike Maturin of the American Solidarity Party, and we'll be back right after this.
Bye.
Redbox Media now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our Friend of the Show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the Show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media.
I'm a shrimp person myself, but I'm shrimpy, so there you go. I'll give you my gumbo recipe.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, And we're here today with Sherry Antonetti and Mike Maturin. Mike is the candidate of the American Solidarity Party. We've been talking about that. I came dangerously close to veering into turning the whole thing into a discussion of oysters and how much I love them. I could actually do that. I could just sit here and soliloquize about oysters and how much I love them. But we won't do that because this show is not all about me. Although I do like oysters.
If you fight us with oysters, we'd allow that, you know.
Okay. But at any rate, we were talking with Mike Maturin before the break. And if you're out there in radio land and you want to join the conversation, give us a call. We're at 1-573-4-BREAD-4, 1-573-4-BREAD-4. And you can call or text us at that number, and you can also tweet us at Breadbox Media. We're speaking of which, I'm hearing funny clanking sounds over the phone, because as we're doing this, Mike is busy cooking dinner for his family. Isn't that awesome? I think that's super great.
Sorry, that was a tin can lid.
Clanky and clinking sounds that you're hearing is Mike making dinner for his family.
Running for president, and he can cook. Running okay, for there you go.
Ladies,
I'll even share recipes on Facebook.
Okay, yes. But at any rate, I wanted to talk a little bit about the American Solidarity Party's take on economics. One of the things that I was impressed with was that you take Chesterton seriously. And distributism, and all that is really to say that you take Rerum Novarum seriously and the church's social teaching, which nobody really takes seriously on either side of the aisle.
I think they've read it, Mark.
I think one of the funniest conversations I ever had with somebody was when they said, "Oh, I believe Catholic social teaching. I believe in subsidiarity." And it was like, that was it. Subsidiarity was Catholic social teaching as far as he was concerned. And by subsidiarity, what he meant really was, I get to keep all my money and the state can go to hell. And it was like...
Yeah. Yeah, no.
That's not really what subsidiarity means. Subsidiarity, the point of subsidiarity is that everyone should, to the best of their ability, be part of helping to order the common good and helping to spread the blessings of God around. So instead of me just writing a check to some big faceless corporation or some big faceless government entity and saying, you guys take care of those poor people that I don't want to have anything to do with, I get involved personally in helping to order the common good. And that's really what subsidiarity is about. And so subsidiarity basically says that the people closest to whatever the problem is should handle the problem first. And you only move up the ladder of authority, of government responsibility or whatever, if it's not working at the local level. And that's really what subsidiarity is for. And that's not all there is to Catholic social teaching, which is why your party is called the American Solidarity Party.
It is. You know, our feeling is part of solidarity. Two things. Number one, it's a bit of a nod, of course, to the solidarity union movement of Poland, which really, in effect, in combination with the Holy Father and some other outside influences, helped to save Poland. Mm-hmm. And number two, it's also a nod to our belief that the way I put it, in its most simplest raw terms, is we're all in this together. You know, this is not a world of individuals. We can't survive by that. That's why solitary punishment is a punishment, because we're not a solitary people. And when we band together and we do the things at the local level that need to be done, to help one another, then this world is a much better, more compassionate, more loving place to live. And it works more efficiently. There are certain parts of government that, yes, should be handled from the federal level, such as national security, for instance. But then there are others that should and must be handled at the local level, like education, for instance. And like you mentioned, that the sources closest to the problem are the ones that should work together to solve the problem with intervention from above or higher levels of government only when necessary.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. And there's only, by the way, there's only one place where there's an exception to that rule, and it's when it comes to the use of violence, which is interesting. So we don't want the Hatfields and the McCoys to work this out between themselves. This is exactly where you kick it up the ladder of authority to the highest possible level, and they swoop in and they take the guns away from the Hatfields and McCoys.
Although I must say that's a wonderful tour through Kentucky and West Virginia.
Oh, okay, well, there you go then. But one of the things that you talk about below in your platform, below the discussion of economics, which includes things like, and a lot of people get baffled by this. They get baffled by the concept of a living wage. What do you mean, right, a living wage? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it all comes down to this entire consistent life ethic. If people are struggling to make ends meet, it leads to, in my opinion, it leads to more violence, it leads to more crime, it leads to more drug use, suicide, abortion. All of the things that we claim to be against, poverty helps to increase. And so shouldn't we as a nation, as a people, as a human race, want to provide that which will keep people from resorting to those things? And a living wage, now we're not talking about everybody in like that one company paid everyone $70,000 a year, no matter what they did. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about a wage whereby a family can sustain itself. And we have no problem with that. And then, of course, providing a social safety net for those who can't provide for themselves.
Yes. Right. Yeah, exactly. And that really is because what Catholic economic teaching wants is for people to be full participants in the economic system. They so that they become owners. I mean, you've got a stake in what happens if you're earning your money and you're making, you know, you're creating something good, something valuable to other people.
Exactly.
And this notion that Catholic social teaching is all it really is about is just, you know, let's make sure that everybody has enough welfare. That's really, you know, the welfare is for people who are having trouble getting into the economic system, having trouble working, you know, finding work. But the goal is that people work, not that they just have stuff handed to them.
Exactly.
So. Yeah. Anyway, and you also have some things to say about healthcare, which I think is interesting. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, we believe, again, part of the whole consistent life ethic is that a basic human need is healthcare, especially in this day and age where we're not living close to the land like we used to. Diseases are running rampant. And so we have more need for it than we did, say, 150 years ago. So we believe in a universal health care, but we believe in a decentralized universal health care, perhaps run at the state level. Some have suggested even lower levels than that, county by county or town by town. That's all still needs to be hashed out. But rather than a national healthcare system, that dictates to all members of the United States or all citizens of the United States what health care they need. You know, each region's a little different. Some some regions have more problems with one disease over another. And so we need to provide, again, at that local level, like subsidiarity would teach. And so at least at the state level, they can look at programs. They were looking, I think, in Colorado for a Colorado Medicare for All type program. So we're looking at a single-payer, decentralized, universal health care system is what we believe would be the best to bring about the goals of providing the best health care possible.
Fantastic. Yeah. You know, and again, this is just, you know, getting back to something that the church itself teaches and something that the U.S. bishops have been calling for 100 years. I'm not making that up. The Catholic bishops have called for 100 years for universal health care in this country. And, you know, the idea that health care is a right is really a corollary of the fact that life is a right. It's just an extension of the logic. We will be back right after this. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here today with Sherry Antonetti and Mr. Mike Maturin of the American Solidarity Party, and we'll be back right after this.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Hello, and welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I am your host, Mark Shane. We're here today with Sherry Antonetti and Mike Maturin of the American Solidarity Party. Well, we got about 12 minutes left, and thought to talk a little bit about, if you could, about, you know, I mean, there is, I've been watching Nate Silver's website. He's the guy that called the election in 2012, and he's saying that there is an outside chance that the American Solidarity might not actually win this year.
Yeah.
So if that doesn't happen, I'm wondering what's next for the American Solidarity Party?
Well, what we're really doing, and people have asked why did you guys come out with a national campaign first rather than the grassroots local campaigns? And the reason for that, Mark, is basic, that a national campaign gets us momentum and media notice and all of that very quickly and gets our name out there. I am not delusional. I don't think I have a chance to win the presidency. I would love to, and there is a 0.1% chance we could. However, what we're really trying to do is build an infrastructure.
Yes, there you go.
Go ahead.
At least you know I'm sane. So, there is a method to our madness, and that is that while we're getting this media attention, while we're making this big splash, we're also building an infrastructure for the future. And so, once this 2016 election cycle is over, our state parties, and we do have members right now in 45 states, and we have state chairs in I think 35 of them. Those folks can start reaching out, building the party at the local and state level, and start recruiting candidates for those local and state offices, and begin to build strength that way. And then as we continue to build that momentum and continue to work with the media, one of the things I've pledged to do, win or lose, is to work with elected officials from both parties to help move forward those things that we can agree on. I don't care if my name gets on the legislation or not. It doesn't matter to me who gets credit. Let's just move this country forward. And I think if we do all of those things, we'll be in a good situation in 2018. And then in 2020, we can make another run at the presidency and have a real viable shot at really being a force to be reckoned with in American politics.
For people who, by the way, are interested in the American Solidarity Party, you can go online and find their website at Solidarity, S-O-L-I-D-A-R-I-T-Y, dash party, P-A-R-T-Y, .org. And you can find them there. And they are, they're saying things that a lot of people are hoping to hear. And the reason that people are hoping to hear those things is because everybody senses that neither party really is saying everything that we want to hear. And both parties advocate things that can only be described as evils worthy of the everlasting fires of hell, I think is the technical term.
And
you really don't want that. So one of the things that Solidarity Party, I think, is, I love being able to look at a party platform where I'm not seeing something and thinking, yeah, I can vote for all these other things, but then there's this thing that damns me to the everlasting fires of hell that it's kind of troubling. Yeah. So a consistent, consistent life ethic is huge for me. And there are a lot of people that share that conviction.
And the American Solidarity Party, it's on Facebook, so you can find it. If you type in American Solidarity Party, they have a Facebook page, and you can like it and find them.
They exist in everything.
Yes, we do have a public discussion page that you just have to ask to join, and you'll be approved. And then there's also a private members-only page. But I'd also like to let everyone know that they can follow my campaign at Matern for President on Facebook. It's M-A-T-U-R-E-N, four, spelled out F-O-R, and then President. And you'll find me there, and you can follow the campaign. We are on the ballot in Colorado. We are official write-in candidates in Texas, Michigan, Ohio, and Georgia. There are 9 states, and I don't have the list in front of me, I apologize, where people can write us in, and we don't need to be registered. And we are sending out registration papers to states continuously. And so we hope to be on 35 to 45 states, at least as write-ins. And if not, and you want to protest against the other two parties, go ahead and write us in anyway.
Well, that's exactly what I plan to do here in Washington. My own take on the election is basically if I lived in a battleground state where the issue was in doubt, I think that Cardinal Ratzinger's caveat about voting for a candidate in order to try to lessen the even greater evil of another candidate is in play here. So I would, in fact, feel morally bound to vote for Hillary in order to stop Trump, who I regard as the most dangerous human being ever placed within reach of the White House. But I live in Washington, which is as ultraviolet blue as it gets. In the 30s, people spoke of the 47 states and the Soviet of Washington. That's my hometown. So I have no doubt that Washington is going to go for Hillary, which means I don't have to. I don't have to vote for her, and I'm not going to vote for her, so I'm going to write you in.
Well, I appreciate that. And, people always say, well, if you vote for a third party, that's a wasted vote. And that's not the case. In a state like yours, Mark, where it's solidly blue, the wasted votes are every vote above the one necessary to elect a candidate.
Right, yes.
So if there are, write in and vote your conscience is actually a smart and proper thing to do in those situations.
Right. And just as we've just got a few minutes left, but one of the things I wanted to ask you is, so it's you get up November 9th, and through a strange fluke in the electoral process, all Democrats and Republicans have stayed home because they were so disgusted what was offered them for a candidate. The only people that actually went to vote were American Solidarity Party supporters. And so by default, you have somehow become president of the United States. So what is your inaugural address going to say? Do you have an idea?
Well, first I'd have to pick myself up off the floor.
Yes.
And probably with the aid of smelling salt. But, I think I would talk about the things that we've talked about here today, that America has now stepped foot onto a new path, a path of consistent life, a path where all can achieve their dreams, and a path where all can have life and have it more abundantly, just as the scriptures say.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. I'm all for it. So I'm going to cross my fingers.
I hope that everyone stays home. Okay.
I'm just going to hope that everybody stays home. And then the only people that vote actually wind up voting for you. That would be fantastic. I would go for that in a heartbeat.
And I'd have you over for a steak dinner.
What's that?
He'd have you over for steak.
I'd have you over for a steak dinner, and I might even cook. Oh.
That would be fantastic too, you know. Yeah, I'd like to. You know, you could do the big block of cheese thing that Andrew Jackson used. Are you familiar with Big Block of Cheese Day?
I remember hearing about it, but that was before my time, Mark.
Oh, okay. There was this is a regular feature that they did. It was sort of there was a show called The West Wing about life in the White House. It was on about 10 years ago. And one of the things that they did, it was sort of like the political version of a holodeck episode from Star Trek. The holodeck functioned as, we can't think of a story this week, so we'll just have something weird happen on the holodeck.
Yes.
And we could just put our people in
the writer's hole.
Yeah, it was so.
Yeah.
So Big Block of Cheese Day was their chance for this every year. And the conceit behind it was that Andrew Jackson used to have a big block of cheese that he would just leave out in the foyer of the White House. And anybody who wanted to could wander into the White House and just talk to Jackson about whatever their thing was. And that was his way of keeping in touch with the public. So,
hence the phrase, I am the big cheese.
Yes. So the big block of cheese, that's what they do in the Bartlett White House. And so this is their chance for every weirdo to walk into the White House with their issues about how we all need to have maps that are upside down because they make Northern Hemisphere countries appear bigger. Or, you know, tell us about where the UFOs are kept in Area 51 or, you know, all of these things, right? And so that's what you should do if you become president, is you need to have Big Block of Cheese today, Cheese Day, so that you could have
I think what we might do, Mark, is have chili chat with Mike and the First Lady.
Wow.
That works. Yes.
Yeah. And it actually sounds like a good name for a hip hop group, too. So that would be good. So there we are. Well, and I think we're just about up against the end of the hour now. Yeah, we got about a minute left. So,
oh my goodness!
I really want to hear that though. Chili cheese, the Mike and the First Lady. That totally does sound like a hip hop.
You know, it's like, you know how they have that thing that if you have which candidate would you want to have a beer with? So, you know, you'd want to have a beer with the person who has chili. That would be fun.
Yes, absolutely.
You got that.
Absolutely what you want. Well, I want to thank you guys for being on the show today. You've been listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. Our co-host today was Sherry Antonetti, and our guest was Mr. Mike Maturin of the American Solidarity Party. I will be back tomorrow with Michael Litchens. Our producer was Ethan Bolin, and this is Mark Shea wishing you a happy evening. Bye-bye.